You're listening to Expansion, the podcast for EXP agents. Expand your skill. Expand your value. Here's your host, Glenn Sanford.
Hey everyone, Glenn Sanford here. And today on the Expansion podcast, I'm actually visiting with Jamie Parker from Atlanta, Georgia. Been with EXP since 2018, five-time Icon agent. Welcome, Jamie.
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast, Glenn.
No, my pleasure, and thanks for joining us. So, I think you've been in the business a few years. Maybe you could just talk a little bit about your background. How'd you get started in real estate? That journey.
Sure. So I've been in the real estate business for 17 years, and what got me into the business is I bought one of my houses, and I saw how much money the real estate agent made. I was like, oh my gosh, it takes me 3 months to make that much money. My background is in teaching. So I was a public school teacher for 17 and a half years. So I taught orchestra, taught middle schoolers, and I also taught general music. And I was also an instructional technology coordinator for a couple of years. Realized that was not for me. I went back into music after that. So I just started doing real estate part-time. So for seven of my 17 and a half years of teaching, I was the part-time real estate agent back when all you could really do is sell HUD homes, because that's when everything, that's how I kind of started, was staying up till 12, 1 o'clock in the morning after I was done teaching for the day, helping people bid on HUD homes online, and kind of started out that way. And so what really also got me into real estate is I was at a marriage retreat, and the people that were running it, and this is very old school, they were like, husbands, if you don't make enough money for your wife to stay home, then you may want to think about a career change. And I'd already been kind of thinking about real estate. That just kind of prompted me. And shortly after my daughter was born, she's our miracle child, took about, 8.5 years to get her. And shortly after she was born, I started studying for my real estate exam while I was still teaching school and had a newborn in the house. And I'd see her crawling around the family room, and I'd be online doing my real estate stuff. If you can only imagine how dry online courses were in 2006 and 2007 compared to today.
Online courses should get a lot better, especially with all the AI stuff. I've been watching some cool stuff with that. So
how I got started, that's what kind of drove me. In 2012, I was able to, I sold 23 houses as a school teacher. So my part-time was making double my full-time. And I was thinking, well, if I had 40 hours a week back, what could I do?
Right.
So here we are. Awesome. I haven't had a paycheck since 2012.
So 2012, you started, 17 years ago, it started kind of on 2007, which was obviously, the housing industry was getting tougher. There was, obviously more starting into short sales, and you mentioned HUD homes. I wouldn't mind just diving a little bit into just HUD homes, mainly because I think it's kind of topical based on what's going on right now. What was the process, or what is the process? Are you still do some HUD home business, or have you sort of moved on?
I have not done any in a long time. I'll be honest with you, the motivation back in the day, it was a 5% commission back in 07, 08. So that was honestly my motivation. I was like, and you could, there were no listings. I mean, everything was REO. And I was a brand new agent. So really the only thing really I could do was bring buyers and find buyers to work with, because, being brand new. So the process, basically, you would look online and you would just see kind of there'd be deadlines for the houses. You'd show the houses. You'd send out maybe houses to your clients. Hey, this house is coming up. Are you interested? We go look at it. Then, okay, here's the deadline. What do you want to bid? Where's your top? Where's your bottom? What would you like to do? And so then you would wait literally till 2 or 3 minutes left in the auction, maybe even less, and try to see where everybody's kind of bidding in at and try to put your best foot forward. And you had to do everything, like everything was broken down. Even, I know this is a hot topic right now, but even your commissions, you actually had to put in there everything, the whole nine yards. Everything was about the net price that was going to be for the seller, for the HUD property. And then you would get an email, hopefully that night or the next morning, hey, you won the auction. And then you had 48 hours to literally bring wet paperwork. Not you can There was no electronic. You literally had to go down. I had to go down 30, 45 minutes from my house into the city to actually drop it off, or you could FedEx it, one or the other, and just hope it gets there on time. And then you would deliver the wet paperwork, pray that it was all done correctly, and then you would move on with the process. They would get their loan. They would do, the normal, once you're under contract, it was pretty much a normal process from that point forward. Most of the homes were sold as is, a good many of them were. So you really, inspection was really just more for the buyer's information and whether they could tolerate the condition of the home and what they were going to have to do to it to get it reconditioned. So
Okay.
that was pretty much the process back then. I'm just truthfully, I've not done one in a while. Just it is a very cumbersome, back then it was a cumbersome process, and I've done it a few times since then. It seems to still be a cumbersome process the last couple
Right.
of times I've done it. So, but that could be definitely something that may be coming back.
Yeah, well, the more, the thing I was kind of interested in, I was sort of touching on is you had to negotiate for a buyer agent commission in those transactions, right?
I did have to, yeah, you definitely the com like it was the overall net for the HUD. So that included, you could, yeah, even though they were giving, so on a $100,000 house, they were going to give you a five, you could get as much as a $5,000 commission, but you could also mess with that to try to improve the bottom line for your buyer,
Right.
and try to, and hopefully get them the deal.
So this is a really interesting. I did this video probably, or this podcast probably got in another month or so. So you'll have to look back to somewhere around, I think, so today's March 25th, and just I think about 8 days ago I did a video on Instagram, and then I posted some stuff. But what's your take on this phrase? Consumers are more service sensitive than commission sensitive. Where do you sit in that? Do you agree with that based on just even your experience with HUD homes where you were negotiating on behalf of buyers?
So commission sensitive versus service sensitive. So I believe that the people that we're working with, if you do a great job, they value the service and they see the value that you bring to the table. They see the value that you're bringing to the table. And so yeah, that is something that they do. And I'm going to apologize for just a half a second. My kid just told me there's a hard lockdown at his school and he's like trying to. So I think consumers are very service sensitive. If you don't return a phone call, if you don't return a text, if you don't, because I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we're in the business of serving somebody and being for, if you're in a transaction with someone for 30, 45 days, maybe 60 days, you're living with that person basically. I mean, you're texting 20, 30, 40 times a day. You've got stuff, you've got emails flying, you've got all these things happening, and it's my job as a professional to manage that transaction, to provide them the best service. Glenn, you shouldn't, if I'm selling your house, you shouldn't feel like you're having any work to do other than just the stuff that the normal, hey, I need you to sign this or I need you to do that. You should feel like that I am doing, that I'm earning what you're paying. What I can make as an icon agent, or did I work like what I would get paid as a teacher? Not downgrading teachers, but you kind of get what I'm getting at.
Right,
So,
right.
what kind of service did I provide for my clients that day? And I think client, there are definitely people that will value your service over what the commission is going to be. Because I mean, as the old adage goes, you do get what you pay for. So if you're going to really try to negotiate certain things out, or that may not be your ideal client. And I think as agents, we also have to think about who are ideal clients? Who we're going to work with? Do we want to work with people that value what we offer as a professional? Just like you can't go into a lawyer's office and negotiate their fee. This doesn't happen. They're a professional. You need them, right? And so the same thing. Do we have that same mindset when we're working? Do we consider ourselves a professional in the same way as a lawyer or a doctor or a physical therapist or somebody else? You can't just go in there and just, hey, I don't want to pay you whatever you're charging. I'll pay you this and expect them to do the same kind of job.
Yeah, for sure. So now, obviously you're EXP. I think you've been at a couple, few other real estate brokerages, including I think KW. What was it that attracted you to EXP? I guess we're going on about what, 5 years ago, 6 years ago?
Yeah, it was about 6 years. We just started, just going into year number six now. And so it was interesting. I was actually at a continuing education class, and there was an agent there with a discount brokerage, and she kind of was like, "What are you paying all those fees for? Like, why are you there? What are you doing over there?" I was like, "Well, I'm doing good. I'm selling $9-10 million a year in homes. I'm doing well. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?" And that was in December, and then my cap was going to set, reset back January 1st. And someone had mentioned EXP back to me back in September of 17, and I was like, "No, I bleed red and black. I'm going to be on the ALC again. I'm going to do all this stuff. Yeah, no, I'm not interested. Now, I'm sure it's good for you, but yeah, not interested." Then another one of my buddies, who I've gone on some vacations with and done some things with, he said, "You're not going to believe this. I'm leaving RE/MAX." I said, "Really? Who are you leaving RE/MAX for?" And he'd been with them for 30 years and had like a 99. He was like literally only had to pay them 1%. He was hardly paying them anything because he'd been there for so long. "I'm going to go with this EXP thing." And I said, "Oh, really? I've heard about it." And I said, "But I'm not really interested. I'm good for you, Pete. Great. I bleed red and black. I'm good." And he said, "Can you just watch this video? Just do it for me, man. We're buds. Can you just watch this video?" And so I watched a video. I was like, "Okay, this makes sense. Like, I liked what I saw." And then, but had he just led with Rob and Kim Campbell were coming, and they've been my mentors for like 10 years, and they were coming out of real estate retirement to help with EXP in Atlanta, that probably would have gotten me. I
Okay,
probably would
yeah.
have signed up right there on the spot. They had been my mentors for a long time. Even when I was at KW, I had to go up and talk at those meetings and quote unquote try to go with the gospel of the Red Book, right? But really, I was getting trained. I had a lot of training from Rob and Kim and Kathy Carter and a lot of other people that were all in my network that I was learning from. And so I learned how to do real estate the way they learned how to do real estate, which is not really the way the Red Book taught. But
Right.
so that's really what kind of got me. I really wasn't excited about real estate anymore. So it was getting to be like monotonous, oh, going in and doing this and trying to do it this way. So when I saw the EXP model and I saw that some of my mentors were coming over to EXP, I was like, well, the success leaves clues.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to follow the trail, follow what they're doing. They've done a lot better than I've done. So I want to follow what they're doing because they know something I don't know.
Good stuff. So now where do you specialize in? I mean, you're a five-time icon. What's your primary business source? What's your lead gen? Are you focused more on sellers than buyers or vice versa? What's your business look like, and what's your kind of, if you think about what, if you have a, if you were to have a superpower in your business, what would that be?
So my superpower is that one first. My superpower in business is picking up the phone and texting people back. My clients know that they can get me. If I'm up, they can get me. I mean, good or bad, I don't have one of those messages on my phone. If it's after 6 o'clock, you can't reach me. If it's after 7 o'clock, I return your call the next business day. If I'm up and available, now I do protect my family time and I do protect my time with my children and loved ones and whatever. But if I'm up. And I'm going to answer your text because again I'm in the business of providing service. I'm in the business of they obviously have a need, and if I'm still up at 10 o'clock and they're texting me, I'm going to try to provide that need so that they can have a better night's sleep that night. And so that is one thing that I just return phone calls, return texts, be timely, and act in integrity in whatever you do. People can tell when you're not authentic.
Right.
And the answer to your other question as far as where my business comes from. I want to thank you, Glenn, because out of last year, out of 56 transactions, 13 came from other EXP agents from around the country. So, 13 incoming referrals and several outgoing referrals too that I sent out as well. So, that's a big part of my business. And then obviously following up with past clients, been doing this for 17 years, have a lot of past clients, do get a lot of referral business. I just sent a referral to an icon agent in Jacksonville yesterday. One of my best clients, I've probably done like 10 transactions with him. His grandma needs to sell their house down there, So yeah, just that has been one of the best sources in my business, is just creating relationships with other EXP agents in addition to my own past clients. And I am partnered with realty.com, homes.com, and I use the agent assistant service, a lot of the affiliated services that EXP has provided us discounts on and good things with. So I do use that for incoming leads as well.
Now, what are you using for a CRM?
I use KV Core.
Okay, awesome. Which obviously we provide that for, well, it's inside of the technology fee, but obviously it's way less expensive than getting it on your own, but it does a lot of stuff. One last question. I know we're running up against time here, but if you could give one piece of advice to EXP agents, based on your experience, what would it be?
I would say stay around the campfire, and what I mean by that, when I bring someone to EXP, it's like it's going to be like drinking through a fire hose for a little bit, because we have so much that we offer, so many different things you can do. There's a lot to set up between workplace and all the things you have to set up and to get rolling. So I would say just stay around the campfire, and then so many hours of training every week. Pick what you want to go to. Be consistent. I'm going to go to training every week, every Monday at 12 o'clock. I'm going to go and I'm going to do whatever that training class is, or I'm going to pick, block out one or two times during the week that you can go to some of these trainings. Because what you don't want to get overwhelmed. You want to be able to use the tools that are being given to you. And then also, again, to go back to what I said earlier, success leaves clues. When you go to these classes, you're hanging around successful people. You're hanging around people that are doing things at a very high level. So making sure you continue to surround yourself with the right types of people, and then showing up for the things that EXP has to offer, because it's a lot that the company offers, and picking where is your niche going to be, where what are the things you're going to work on? Are you going to work on professional development? Are you going to work on self development? Are you going to work on lead gen? Are you going to work on pick different things to work on? And pick different classes with people who have already done it, and then actually do what they actually told you to do.
Awesome. Well, Jamie, thanks for jumping on. Where would, if somebody wanted to kind of follow you, connect with you, what's sort of the best place to do that?
Sure. Well, you can find me on Instagram, Jamie Parker Realtor. On Instagram, of course, on Facebook, Rockin' Agent on Facebook. Cell phone number is 404-483-7816. If you have anybody for Atlanta, love to be able to show them what icon service looks like.
Awesome. Well, great stuff. Thanks, Jamie. And again, thanks everyone for listening to this episode of the Expansion Podcast. So with that, until next week, we'll chat with you then. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Expansion. Tune in every Tuesday for new episodes. Thanks for being the best part of EXP.